about that policeman. He was only a policeman after all. Well, good morning. What a wonderful privilege to see all of you here this morning at this first chapel of the new school year. I did have the page open and I disappeared. That's either good news or bad news for all of you. For our visiting guests from Atasia, I had the privilege of spending a little time with them this morning. Again, I'd like to thank you for your visit, for helping us become better in equipping men and women for ministry, and for showing us ways that we could partner with other educational institutions around this region. For our new students, I'd like to speak to you for a moment as the chairman of the Board of Trustees. And I'd like to say thank you. Thank you for choosing Asia Pacific Nazarene Theological Seminary, or APNTS, as your place for graduate studies. We have a vision in mind. We have a goal in mind. And the goal is that we become better tomorrow than what we are today. Our goal is that we instill within you not just an education, but that we contribute to a character transformation. That you go from year, not just changed year, but that you are changed year, because you have encountered the living God while studying amongst this body of students. I do want to thank the returning students for coming back. I know sometimes the temptation is to stay at home after a break. If you've gone home, everything's more familiar there, easier there, but you came back to finish that which you began. And that is why we have graduate education, to prove that you can finish something that you began. It's very important. I'd like to thank the administration and faculty and staff for hanging in there during this period of presidential transition. You'll hear that Dr. Keith is the officer in charge because we don't have a president right now. But it's okay because no institution should ever revolve around one person or one individual. We are a team. We're a body. And we function and work together. When one is weak, the other is strong. And this staff, faculty, under the leadership of Dr. Keith and Dr. Eugenio as the academic dean and the other administrators, we are going forward. And we hope to soon present to you the name of a new president elect. I believe today, as yesterday and the day before and tomorrow, that we stand in a moment of history where there is great change. And with great change, there is great uncertainty. Things are changing more rapidly today than in any other time in the history of mankind and humanity. And the things that I took for granted in my generation are not things that can be taken for granted by my children's generation. The world is changing, and there is uncertainty. Kingdom values are being challenged and torn down. Self-accomplishment is being honored. Sin and depravity is being elevated. Personal gain and fame, often at all costs, is being praised and accepted by the world. The world is a mess because sin still reigns freely. That sin of the Garden of Eden is still recurring today as people desire to be like God, as people desire to know good from evil. You have come to the seminary, I hope, not to acquire a degree for some purpose of personal gain and personal benefit, but I hope that you have come as ambassadors of hope and light in a world that is hopeless and dark and in need of salvation. I hope that you have come not to dictate and define for others the morality of society and the rightness of actions based upon godly views, but that you have come as a servant of all, that you might know God, that you might know the power of the resurrection, that you might be changed in your encounter with Him through academic studies, through relational interaction with students and faculty alike, through stepping out beyond the walls, as Dr. Cunningham prayed, to interact with this last world, even here while you are in Manila, that transformation and change and the good news could be shared. Out there, it's all about power, the retention of power. It's about position. But in here, my friends, it must be about Him, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, Jesus, the Savior, the Son of God, the Redeemer of mankind. Everyone out there wants to be famous. I had a daddy-daughter date with my 17-year-old, and we were talking about popularity. You know, how do you know whether you are popular or not? Well, you know you're popular by how many likes you get on Facebook, how many people follow your YouTube channel, how many people are subscribed to your Twitter account. Popularity is weird. A quick test, I think. I forgot that I have this thing. Here's a quick test for you. This is going to be interactive. You're going to speak to your partner. So I'm just testing you. Are you ready? You awake? Tell your neighbor the name of a famous person that you admire. Quickly. Tell your neighbor the name of a famous person that you admire. All right, you done? This is not a trick quiz. Secondly, you may have told your neighbor the name of someone they don't know, which is all right. Now tell them quickly why they are famous. Why are they famous? Why is this person famous? Why is this person famous? You got it? Okay. Now I'm going to ask you to respond in this way. The name of the person given, is that person, if the person is, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand, okay? Is the name of the person that was given to you a TV or movie celebrity? Okay, there we go. There we go. All right. Is it an athlete? No athletes? Oh boy, you're a bunch of bookies. Is it a politician? Yeah, let's see. Politicians, okay, famous people. There we go. All right. Is it a humanitarian? Ah, there we go. How about an inventor or explorer? No? All right. Who gave the Sunday school answers? Jesus. We have one Sunday school answer. You must get a pin for going to Sunday school. Now, as a follow-up, why is that person famous? If you cited one of the following, just indicate by the raising of your hand. Is it because of an achievement? If it's because of an achievement that this individual has accomplished, okay, yes, all right. Is it because of a certain skill that they have? Yeah, let's see, skill. I can't figure out bobbing heads because in some places this is yes and that is no. And is it because of talent? Yes, let's see, talents. Ah, there we go. Is it because of deeds, something that they have done? A good deed person, yes. Is it maybe because of their personhood? Just who they are. Excellent. Well, I think in some way, we all want to be famous. Or at least we all want to be recognized in some way. We want to be adored. I'm a daddy of four daughters. I'm famous. I'm a hero. My girls think so. Their boyfriends were afraid of me. Because I was that dad. But they still tell me that. But one of the greatest things about being a daddy is being with your children and making them happy to the point of where they keep on yelling out, "Do it again, Daddy! Do it again! Do it again! Turn the sound up, quick!" I'm gonna. Okay, here we go. Do it again, Daddy. Do it again. Daddies like to do it again, even if it's the same silly noise. Over and over, the little one will shout out to the daddy, "Do it again. Do it again. Do it again. Please, Daddy, do it again." In this passage of scripture that is the theme passage for this school year, it's essentially, "Do it again, Daddy. Do it again." Habakkuk, the prophet, is praying to God that he would do again that which he had so faithfully done in the past. When you hear those words, when you were listening to them, I was wondering what you are wanting God to do again for you. What are you wanting God to do again for you? If you just take that passage of scripture in isolation, which isn't always a good thing to do, what is it that you want God to do for you? As you come to the seminary, as you begin your academic studies or your new academic year, what is it that you are wanting God to do again? Most of you will undoubtedly take an Old Testament survey course, during which time you will know that this is Habakkuk. He's one of the minor prophets, and you'll probably do a survey of his book. But just briefly, it's around 605 BC. The world is in chaos, much as it is today. Evil abounds. Idolatry abounds. It's the last decade of the southern kingdom. And Habakkuk is asking a question that many of us ask today still. In an evil world, where is God? Where is God in an evil world? God, where are you? Where are you? I've been praying. So much evil about. It's thriving. It's completely in the open. But you are remaining strangely silent, quiet. Where are you, God? How long will you allow this mess to continue? He's pleading with God to act. But God just doesn't seem to be hearing. Have you ever felt that way? Have you ever felt like you're walking through the valley of the shadow of death? And where is God in the midst of all of this? When that young child was abducted, raped, and murdered, where was God? No, the world's asking these questions. Where is your God allowing this stuff to happen? But then, as is true to his character, God does respond. His response to Habakkuk is his response to all future generations. Therefore, it's his response to us. He says, evil will be defeated and crushed. Just as you were delivered from the bondage of slavery, you will be delivered from this oppressive generation. I'm going to do it my way, not the way that you might expect. Another nation, he says, the Babylonians themselves, ruthless and impetuous, evil and cruel, would come and execute justice on the Lord's behalf. The wicked in Judah, those who thought they would get away with their evil deeds forever, will be crushed and punished. I believe that in this book, that Habakkuk offers us a picture of a prideful people being humbled, while the righteous live by faith in God. And he invites us into a journey of faith, trusting the Lord, trusting that God loves this world more than we do, and that while God may seem silent and uninvolved, he always has a plan to deal with evil and always works at justice. Maybe not in our time, but he always does. Then, having heard from God, he breaks out in a prayer in chapter 3, beginning with these words: Lord, I have heard of your fame. I stand in awe of your deeds, O Lord. Renew them in our day. In our time, make them known. In wrath, remember mercy. As you go through this chapter in verses 3 through 7, we see him talking of the fame of the Lord. The fame of the Lord. Have you heard of the fame of the Lord? Our God is a famous God. He is the creator of the universe. He is the one who gave life to us. This famous God knows everything about you and me. Nothing is hidden from him. This famous God is a God of yesterday, today, and tomorrow. This famous God knows what lies before us. Have you heard of the fame of God? Habakkuk reflects on that in these verses that I'm not going to dig into. And then he reflects on the deeds of God, the mighty deeds of God, the power of God, crushing the enemy, overcoming, causing mountains to move, rivers to flood, rivers to open. The deeds of God. As he reflects on these things. And I want you to reflect a moment. What do you know about the fame of God? Personalize this for a moment. What do you as an individual personally know about God? I know there are some students who come to APNTS who are still baby Christians, young in their faith. And you are going to be stretched in this place. And you may hear some things that you don't like or don't necessarily even agree with. But the goal of the education year is to give you a holistic perspective of God. That you can know him, that you can understand him, so that you can ascribe to the world the completeness of God. Why you hero worship him and not LeBron James, whoever your hero may be. Do you know why, personally? Secondly, what have you personally experienced from this God? What deed have you experienced? You know, this famous God, he healed the lame. He gave sight to the blind. He gave life to the dead. Physically. He gave life to a sinner such as I. He took me, now I'm speaking personally, from a life of self-seeking ambition as an officer in the army, seeking to become a general, he took that and delivered me from that so that I may know Christ and the power of his resurrection and join in the fellowship of the suffering, that he may be glorified, that he may be honored, that he may be made famous. Boy, I've only begun. I'm an African. I can preach a long time. Verse 16. As you reflect on this, and as Habakkuk reflected, he said, I heard and my heart pounded. My lips quivered at the sound. Decay crept into my bones and my legs trembled. In other words, it was so awesome, so all-powerful that he became a nervous wreck because he who speaks life can speak the end. He saw that, just like Isaiah, who saw the Lord high and lifted up. And here are the words that I want us to focus on. Yet I will wait patiently for the day of calamity to come on the nation invading us. Though there is nothing, no figs, no grapes, no olives, there are barren fields, no sheep, no cattle. There's nothing to be thankful about. Everything that should be normal is abnormal. It's gone. Though there is nothing, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God my Savior. Verse 19 says, the sovereign Lord is my strength. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer. He enables me to tread on the heights. I will rejoice. My friends, as you begin this year or recontinue your studies, I want to promise you something. Life's not going to be easy here. While we would want it to be easy for you, while we do our best to make it as comfortable as we can, it's not going to be easy. Many of you come from afar as we were introduced. New culture. Interacting with new cultures. Learning new things. Being challenged. Stretched. It's not going to be easy. And it's not going to be comfortable. And you may pray, do it again, Lord. Let it be as it once was. Give me good things. Sometimes we just need to be content with the fact that He is God. And that He will accomplish His purposes and His will in and through our lives in His time. If you want to succeed here, you must do it again. You must begin with a strong relationship with your daddy. That's where it begins. Being plugged in to the Father through the Son, Jesus Christ. You must be born again. Reborn. Renewed in your rebirth. Whatever. But you need to fix your eyes upon Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. We want the Father to do it again, but we want Him to go even deeper. Sometimes deeper means painful. But if you let Him, you'll come out transformed and more in His likeness. If we are praying this prayer of Habakkuk, I'm going to conclude here. Oops. If we are praying this prayer of Habakkuk, and I ask you, do we understand what you're really praying for? This prayer isn't a name it and claim it prayer. It's a prayer of personal engagement, of being exposed to the almighty power of the God who spoke all that we know into existence. It's a prayer of patience. It's a prayerful reminder to ourselves that God is in control. That while things may seem out of control, as we read the news and watch TV, we will see a world that is seemingly spinning out of control. But He is in control. If you are ready to pray this prayer, if you want this, that he does it again, but maybe not the way you want him to do it again, maybe not in the area you want him to do it again, for he knows you. He knows your deepest needs. If you're really wanting him to do it again in deep, personal, and profound ways, then I want to assure you that you've come to the right place where you will discover this Almighty God, where you will be challenged academically, where you'll be challenged relationally, where you'll be challenged emotionally, where you'll be challenged as a human being to conform into the likeness of our Lord Jesus. Yeah, you will learn, but more than that, you'll be exposed to the Almighty. As I conclude this, and I believe there's a closing song, am I right? Erna, you guys? Yeah? If you can come up. You know, just like all of you, I do internet searches on topics. So I just Googled, well actually I YouTubed this passage of scripture. And I'll show you, play you a short clip of, just get me back on there, of this verse.
Of your renown, and I stand in awe, O Lord, of your work. In our own time, revive it. In our own time, make it known. In wrath, may you remember mercy. God came from Tamar, the Holy One from Mount Paran. In our own time.
He heard the prayer. He responded in his time. Don't give up. Never, never, never give up. Don't become despondent. Don't allow the enemy to discourage you. Don't let the world tell you, there's no God out there. Well, if he is, where is he? You have heard of his fame. You have seen his deeds. That's why you're here. At least I'd like to believe that's why you are here. And if you hang on to that, if you hang on to that which has been, you can be certain that he who has done is faithful and he will do it again. As we go into this year, and as we conclude with this song,